Three, two, one. Although the human papillomavirus, or HPV vaccine, is recommended for girls and women to prevent and reduce the risk of genital warts and cervical cancer, it is unknown how well it works on the other half of the population, that is, boys and men. Data presented at the European Research Organization on Genital Infection and Neoplasia International Multidisciplinary Committee Conference in Nice, France, are the first on the efficacy of HPV vaccines in males. And I'm pleased to introduce Dr. François Coutelet, professor at the University of Montreal, study investigator and clinical researcher at the Molecular Virology Laboratory, CHUM, Hôpital Notre-Dame. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. It's a pleasure.
I wanted to ask, first off, how common are HPV infections and what is its epidemiology?
Well, basically, HPV infection is very, very common. In fact, we estimate from cohort studies that have been conducted across the world that it probably infects at least once in their lifetime 75% of individuals who are sexually active. So that's a very conservative estimate. Most probably, any individual who is sexually active will have this infection once in his lifetime.
Are there different types of the vaccine and different types of the virus or subtypes of the virus that we tend to focus upon?
Well, basically, it's a big family of viruses, really. We do not speak of one virus here. We speak of types of viruses, and in that family, you have over 100 types. 40 of these types infect the genital area, and from these 40, 13 can cause cancer, and a couple of other types mm-hmm. can cause genital warts. So even though we have many types that can infect men or women, there are some types that are more frequently found in cancer. Let's say those types that are predominant are mainly HPV type 16 mm-hmm. and HPV type 18 that are found in about 70% of cases of cancer of the uterine cervix. When you look at genital warts, they are mainly caused by types 6 and 11. But there are 13 types that are recognized as potentially causing cancer. Mm-hmm.
What do we know about the natural history, though, of these types? Are these, as you mentioned, these particular four subtypes, with the two promoting genital warts and the other two 70% of cervical cancers, do they always progress to cancer, or are there times where the body is able to combat this virus on its own?
That's an excellent question. In fact, it's been the key question that researchers have been asking themselves at the end of the 1980s and beginning of the 1990s, when the causation wasn't well established yet between the virus and cancer. And it was really mind-boggling that almost every individual would get infected, and yet not everybody would mm-hmm. Would get cancer. And in fact, the key to understanding this this infection is the persistence of infection. In fact, although most individuals are infected at some point in time in their life, most of us get rid of the infection most probably by developing an efficient immune response. However, unfortunately, you may have 5 to 10% mm-hmm. of infected individuals that do not clear as rapidly the infection as others. And usually we consider that infection is cleared within a year. That's usually the median time it takes to clear the infection. But some individuals may keep the infection for many more months or even many more years. They are the individuals who are at higher risk of developing precancer lesions mm-hmm. and cancer lesions. But it's very important to realize that only a portion of those who are infected will develop significant lesions that will be initially precancers or precancerous lesions that may regress by themselves or may evolve to higher grade lesions and invasive cancer.
I want to turn to the vaccine and the studies that have done to date, and the vaccine has been approved for use in girls but not for boys. And my question is, were there Was there any original research on males, or was this, or were males excluded from the original research and the focus being primarily on females?
Well, basically, the focus was on females because we knew much more about HPV-induced diseases in women than in men, especially particularly concerning the cancers that can be caused by these viruses. Cervical cancer and the link between HPV and cervical cancer was firmly established in 1995, and it was concluded by the IARC, the International Agency for the Research on Cancer, that HPV was a necessary cause for cervical cancer. Without HPV, no cervical cancer.
Right.
That link of causation was not as well established for penile cancer or anal cancer, and still has not been as well established as it's been established or studied for cervical cancer. So there was some form of delay in our knowledge of these cancers that are those that are relevant for men, explaining in part why there was a delay between the clinical trials done for men and for women. Another important fact that we need to realize is the importance of Joel Pilevsky's work from California on anal disease caused by HPV in men. In fact, he suggested that the disease was quite important in men who were infected by HIV, and he studied very extensively this disease in the 1990s. But very few groups have focused on this disease, primarily because HIV-infected men were dying of other causes, and it wasn't a relevant disease considering survival. But since HIV-infected men are treated by efficient treatment now, it becomes a more relevant disease, and more teams are investigating it. Now, we started a cohort study on anal pre-invasive disease and HPV infection in men infected by HIV. We started this in 2001, and we were the first cohort study as such funded by the NCIC in Canada. So it's been a new interest and explaining in part why these trials have started after trials were started for women. I think, you know, it's speculative, but I think that could explain it.
And turning to the present study that looked at the vaccine use, a phase 3 study that looked at the vaccine use in men, what was the study's design and what were the results?
Basically, we are looking at a standard clinical trial with a placebo and vaccine that was double-blind, recruiting across the world, mainly from the USA and Australia, but including countries like Canada, Europe, Southeast Asia, a study that recruited about 4,000 individuals, 2,000 receiving the vaccine, 2,000 receiving the placebo, and followed prospectively over time over 36 months. Now, we need to realize that the results that were presented at the conference at Eurogen were preliminary results resulting from the follow-up of men for an average about 30 months. So the study is still ongoing. We need to complete the study, but the preliminary results were very encouraging and needed to be reported.
And given that, from my understanding, that the results did show similar effects on males as in females with regards to reducing the rates of HPV infection, what are the health implications? You know, when I look at the vaccine scheduling for females only, you're half the population is being left out with regards to transmitting that infection. Mm-hmm. It would stand to reason that you would want to vaccinate both sexes in order to reduce the overall preponderance of the virus and as well the rates of transmission.
You're entirely right. When you want to, if we wanted to control a disease in women, let's say, we need to vaccinate over 50% of women to have a good control. If we don't, we need to vaccinate men because you reduce the burden of infection in your population. Obviously, if you vaccinate over 80 or 90% of women, you would have a positive impact on mm-hmm. on the disease in women, and would not need to vaccinate men. But still, this study demonstrates that there's another good reason to vaccinate men besides transmission. You're preventing disease
exactly.
in men as well. But obviously, the most efficient way to control this infection is to vaccinate both men and women. Obviously, the decision to do so is has to be taken by national committees and advisory committees on vaccination. It cannot be done by one individual, but with the data that is provided by this study, it's very encouraging that there could be an effect not only on transmission, because you're reducing the number of infection in those vaccinated, but disease as well in men.
And finally, what are the next steps now that this research has been presented? And although it is preliminary, what is the plan?
Well, the plan is obviously to complete the study, and there's still 6 months to go as a mean of follow-up for patients to complete the study. That will increase the power of the study and will allow us to be more precise in our estimation of the protection level of the vaccine. We know that it's protective for 90% of lesions induced by HPV. Is it 93%, 87%, mm-hmm. 91%? The continued follow-up will allow us to be more precise in that estimate. Also, the protection has been demonstrated mainly against genital warts, because the follow-up was not long enough to look mm-hmm. at the precancers and cancers. Continuing the study will give us also a better view on how well it protects for the precancerous lesions. So that's obviously a must to complete that study. Afterwards, what the company will do, I suppose, will be to submit to Health Canada and the FDA mm-hmm. for approval of the vaccine, and it will be left to the NACI, the National Advisory Committee on Vaccination, to evaluate the study, to evaluate the benefits, and to propose or not vaccination for men. And as you know, our system in Canada is mm-hmm. quite complicated for vaccination. Afterwards, it will be left for each provinces to decide how they will and if they will incorporate vaccination of men into the vaccination program that is actually offered for each province.
Dr. François Coutelet is professor at the University of Montreal, study investigator and clinical researcher at the Molecular Virology Laboratory, CHUM, Hôpital Notre-Dame. And Dr. Coutelet, I'd like to thank you so much for taking the time to talk about preliminary data looking at HPV vaccine in males. And hopefully can have you back on the air as the study continues and as the data comes in to keep us up to date on its progress.
Well, thank you very much. It was a pleasure.